Father, we thank you for this woman that worshiped you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that she broke that very expensive bottle of perfume. And people got angry and they said, that money could have been used to help the poor. What a waste. But Lord, she was giving enormously to you. She was sparing no expense for you, Jesus, because she loved you. What she did anointed you, prepared you for burial. And Lord, we're still singing about it. May we love you like her. May we love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. May we have a head over heels love for you, Jesus, that would be unstoppable for you and also others. Speak to us now through your word. Thank you for this message. Get me out of the way. Let us hear your word to us this morning, Jesus, and make us ready to receive it on open hearts, listening for your voice. And then may we hear it by your Spirit. Tell us how to do it, because you've told us over and over to be doers of your word, not just hearers. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Return to your first love is the title of this message. Allison and I got to see a movie this weekend called War Room, and you need to go see it. You need to go see it. The same group put it out that made the movie Facing the Giants and Courageous and Fireproof. It's actually just a church that has discovered that a lot of people go to the movies, so they're using that to get the good news out. But you need to see that movie. I couldn't resist after Allison and I had seen it. I was encouraging Anna yesterday. I said, do you want to go see that movie? Do you want to go? And she had to do some studying with a friend. And so Christian and I went and joined Anna and her friend. And then we saw it. So I saw it twice this weekend. But point being, I just wanted to share a little about a love grown cold. There was a married couple in the movie, Elizabeth and Tony. And at one time, they must have had a friendship that turned to a romance, that turned to love, and that ended in a marriage, that culminated, I should say, in a marriage. And they were married and they had this child. And so we know anytime there's a marriage, there is a love that starts out strong. If you get married to somebody, there's probably a strong love there on that wedding day. And of course, they had that. But that love had grown cold. That love had grown real cold, and the busyness of life and the lack of communication had brought about a distance. And they fought and they fought. And when you looked at them, you wouldn't see any evidence of love, the deep love they once had. Matter of fact, at one point, Tony was with one of his friends in the gym, and his friend was a paramedic, and his friend was talking about saving lives, and Tony, the married man, said, "You know, I wouldn't give anybody CPR. I wouldn't do anything. I'd just call 911. There's no way I wouldn't give anybody CPR." And then his friend said, "Well, what if it was your wife?" And Tony actually hesitated for a little while. And he said, "Man, what's that about?" I said, "What if it was your wife?" You see, the love had grown cold. Later in the movie, you see a picture of Tony's bride in her wedding gown, and he's holding that picture. And on that day, you know that love was strong, but not anymore. What needed to happen? And that's only one fictional description of what's happening to more than one out of every two couples that are married. It's only a fictional description of one. Well, even worse than that human greatest love that we can have and greatest commitment that we can have humanly speaking with each other, the marriage covenant, even greater than that is your covenant with the Lord Jesus, if you're a believer. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus. There's no higher relationship. There's no higher love relationship than that of a human being who's realized their sinfulness and repented and put their faith in their Lord and their Savior, who's loved them and gave Himself for them, and someone who's put their faith in Jesus and He has saved them and He is in their life. There's no greater love than that. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you already have that relationship with Jesus, how's the love these days between you? Far worse than a human marriage. Has your love at all grown cold with Jesus? Do you feel any more distant to Jesus now than you have at some point in the past? Has there ever been a time where you felt more in love with Jesus than you do now? Do you need to return to your first love? Or perhaps this morning, you need to find your first love. Maybe you know deep in your heart, as much as you've ever been to church before, you've never really discovered this love relationship with Jesus. You can't really say you know Him personally like you would know a spouse or even better or greater. Maybe you doubt and wonder if you even truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's greater than any other relationship you have. Well, in either instance, let's look at that right now. Let's look at that question. Do you need to return to your first love or find your first love? Either one. Turn to Revelation 2 and let's look at verses 1 through 7. Let's look at a church that lost their first love, had forsaken that first love, and they needed to get back to it. Revelation 2, verses 1 through 7. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you in the chair. I think we have Bibles now. I think in there we did. And aren't there Bibles in your chair? There you, all right. Thank the Lord for those who helped out and got those Bibles in those chairs. But at the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, let's look at this. Now, Jesus is speaking here, and He's writing, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he's writing these seven letters to these seven churches here. And we want to look at Jesus' letter to this church in Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And we know that in the past, this church had been flourishing. Ephesus was the most important city in Western Asia Minor, which is now Turkey today. And it had become a commercial center. It was at the intersection of major trade routes, and they had this goddess Diana, that they boasted of this goddess Diana. In the Greek, it was Artemis. And Paul had made this place a place of evangelism for about 3 years. And so a church was established there, the church at Ephesus, after these 3 years of evangelism. And the church was flourishing. But now Jesus is writing this letter to this church that is no longer flourishing and now needs this warning. And so let's not only look at this warning as for this church, but God's word is for you and it's for me. So let's apply it to our lives. Do you need to return to your first love or find your first love? Well, let's read it together. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Do you need to return to your first love? Or do you need to find your first love? You haven't found him yet this morning. Well, first of all, let Jesus examine you. That's what we see in these first three verses. Let Jesus examine you. Look at the first three verses. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Well, that's Jesus speaking this. Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one speaking these words to this church. Jesus is the one examining this church. And then in his examination of this church in verse 2, he says, I know your deeds. And he commends them first. He looks at what are they doing good? Here's some things that you're doing good. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. He's saying, good job. Here's my examination of you. Good job in these areas. Well, you need to let Jesus examine you. You're familiar with getting an examination. This past week, I just had to go to Dr. McWhorter, to my quarter. I have a low thyroid. Sometimes I get it mixed up, low or high thyroid. I think I have a low thyroid. And so I have to go every 6 months and get an examination by Dr. McWhorter. He's got to look at everything. And I came in a couple weeks before and got all my blood drawn. And so I'm sitting in there and he comes in and he's looking over. And he says, oh, your blood work looks good. Everything looks good. And he does the doctor thing and hits my knees and my feet fly up and kick him. And, he's examining me. And I go every 6 months so examine, make sure everything's all right. And, well, as much as possible, you need to have a spiritual examination. You need to go to the Lord as often as necessary in your time with the Lord. Alone with Him, apart from anybody else, no distractions around. Just you and Jesus as often as it takes. And you need to ask it, Lord, examine me. Lord, what do you see? How am I doing? Lord, what's good? What's bad? How am I doing, Lord? We need that examination often. And Jesus taught us to confess our sins. That's kind of an examination. We do it every service we have. We have a time of silence where we ask God and His Holy Spirit, Lord, search us, show us, is there anything, how's everything going? Is there anything okay? Is there anything I need to confess? Is there anything not right in my heart? Or we do a sort of letting the Lord examine us, don't we? But you need to do it. You need to do it yourself as well. And then in this examination, let Jesus examine you. One thing He points out to them is about these false teachers. They did a good job there. Look at verse 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. He's saying, good job. You know, you tested the teaching that you were hearing. You tested it and you found it to be false. And you knew those were false teachers. Those were false prophets. You need to do that. I need to do that. Jesus said it often to watch out for false teaching and false prophets. And He says, we're going to look tonight. If you're able to come at 5 tonight, we're going to look at how to do that. Test the spirits, God tells us in 1 John chapter 4. Test every spirit to see whether it's from God or not. Don't just believe every teaching you hear and every pastor you hear and every thing you hear on TV. Test it. God said, you guys have done a good job here. You've been testing these teachers and you found them to be false. We need to do that. Watch out for false teaching and test it. A great litmus test for that is ask them what they believe about Jesus. Ask them. Put them on the spot, because Scripture teaches Jesus is fully God and He's fully man at the same time. Ask them, what do you believe about Jesus? You believe He's fully God? Well, no. He was a prophet. But He, well, automatically. We'll look at it more tonight. Read 1 John 4. You automatically know that's not a teaching from God. That's from the Antichrist, spirit of the Antichrist. Anything that says something other than what the Scripture says about Jesus. That's one test. And then whatever you hear, test it against God's Word. Any teaching you hear. If there's a red flag that comes up in your spirit, go to God's Word and check it out. Say, hold on, is that true? Let me look here. Don't just believe everything you hear. Be like the Bereans who didn't just listen to the Apostle Paul. They listened and then they tested and they checked the Scriptures to see if what he was saying. This is the Apostle Paul. You can trust what he's saying, right? He wrote most of the New Testament. God used him to do that. But the Bereans didn't just take him at his word. They checked the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. And they found it to be good. Do you do that? Test. And it goes without saying, you got to know God's word to know if something's false. You got to know the truth. If you're going to know if there's some lies out there. So are you in His Word every day? Are you reading through His whole Word? Have you covered the whole thing yet? Do you keep going through the whole thing so you know it? So you know it. Watch out for false teaching. They did a good job there. And then endure hardship without growing weary. This is all under let Jesus examine you. In 3, they endured hardship without growing weary, and they were commended for that. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. We need to do that. God also tells us, Galatians 6:9, He says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Keep doing good. Persevere. That's a good thing. Jesus commends that. What is his examination say of you? Listen to his voice right now. What's he saying about you when you ask him, Lord, how am I doing? What's good? What's bad? Let him examine you. What's he telling you? Pay attention. He might be speaking to you right now, telling you something. Write it down. Write it down so you can do it and change it. Go home and pray about it. Next, have you forsaken your first love? The question of the morning, do you need to return to your first love or find your first love? Well, let Jesus examine you. And next, have you forsaken your first love? Ask yourself that question. Look at verse 4. Yet I hold, here's his warning now. He shared what they did good. Now this is not good. Look at verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Well, their first love was him, was Jesus Christ. Somehow they had forsaken him. They're busy, they're working, they're doing all these things he commends, but somehow they haven't been loving him as much. They've forsaken him somehow in all their busyness. What about you? Have you forsaken your first love? Here's the question for you to consider. Is there anything that you put before Jesus in your life? Is there anything that you give more of your time to, more of your devotion to, more of your heart to, more of your love to? And men, check yourself. When football season rolls around, what happens? Are any of us? I heard Coach Ragsdale say, he coaches Trinity, I heard him say not too long ago, football is a great game, it's an awesome game, but it's a terrible God. And that's just one example. It doesn't matter what it is. Women, anybody here, you may have a son or daughter that you love more than anything on earth. You may have a spouse that you love more than anything on earth. You may have, I don't know what it is for you, but whatever you love the most on this earth, you need to consider this question. Have you forsaken your first love? Is there anything that you put before Jesus? Is there anything that you would not, is there something in your life that you would not be willing to give up for him? If there is, that's you've forsaken your first love. He's not your first love. Right now, that thing is your first love. If there's anything you wouldn't give up for him, then he's not first. That thing is first. But you can repent. You can return to your first love this morning. It's a picture of paying homage to a king. Imagine a king and you're his servant and you go in and the king's seated on his throne and you go in and you bow down and he has his hands and you put your hands in his and you just bow and you say, O king, whatever you have, I'm yours. I belong to you. Whatever you have, even if it's death, I will do it. Whatever you have, king. Is that how you are with Jesus? That's how we need to be. All that I have, all that I am, it's all yours, Jesus. He may be dealing with you about something. I remember when Allison and I had We had been together for about 5 years and we knew the Lord wanted us to get married and we were trying to finish up college and something happened and I couldn't explain it, but I thought that our relationship was ending and I knew she was the one I was supposed to marry and something was going on and I knew our relationship was ending. And I remember being outside of my parents' house and just sitting on the curb just crying. You're saying, God, what's going on? You know, I know I'm supposed to marry her. And, you know, and the thing the Lord was asking me, what he was testing me with, was to say, if you have to choose one, her or me, who is it? And I knew that's what he was telling me. And through a lot of tears and pain, I finally said, you, Lord, you, okay? Yeah, I love you the most, okay? If she has to be gone, she's gone, you know? But yeah, I love you the most. And when that happened, it was in my heart and in my mind, God did a supernatural work. It was the next moment I saw her, it was like everything was better than it had ever been before. And we're married today, and we have 3 children. But anyway, but it was a test. Have you forsaken your first love? Is there anything that you need to do? Whatever you love the most in your life, is there anything that you need to do that with? Or you need to put it on the altar? Like Abraham had to do with Isaac. Something you need to get in your heart right with the Lord. Well, what you need to do is remember and repent. Remember and repent. Do you need to return to your first love? Or do you need to find your first love? Let Jesus examine you. Have you forsaken your first love is the question. And then, if so, remember and repent. Remember and repent. That's what we see in verse 5. Look at it. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. And so there's a warning there. Remember how high you used to be. Think about your relationship with Jesus. If there's ever been a time that it was better than it is now, then remember that. Remember the height from which you've fallen. Remember how good it used to be with Jesus. Remember that from where you came from. And then repent. And do the things you did at first. Think back and think, well, what was I doing when I felt so close to Jesus? What's different? What was I doing? Remember back and repent and change. Do. It's all about doing God's word. Do the things you used to do before. Or maybe you're just trying to find that ultimate love relationship with Jesus. Maybe you just want a deeper love relationship with Jesus. Well, do the same thing. Remember, you can later on read a chapter ahead in chapter 3, and God gives great advice there. Maybe you just want that deeper relationship with the Lord. Well, remember the things you've received and heard from Him over the years, from His Word. Remember what you've received and heard from Him, and examine yourself, or let Him examine you, and see. And repent and obey. Do the things He's spoken to you before. Do those things. Whatever He's told you, do that. Remember. Remember. And then repent and do what needs to be done. Do what the Lord wants you to do. And heed the warning. Heed the warning. Notice here, if you do not repent, He will come and He'll take away their lampstand. They won't have that church anymore. He's just going to take it away. And you think about that's concerning to me. I need to remember what He's telling me and repent. What does that warning mean for me? What does it mean for you? I don't want Him to just come suddenly like a thief and say, all right, Derek, it's it. Time's up. I kept telling you wouldn't repent and do what I was telling you to do. And finally, hear what the Spirit says and be victorious. That's what we see right there at the end in 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Hear what the Spirit says and be victorious. You got to have God's Spirit in you to hear what He's saying. That's why Jesus would say sometimes they have ears, but they don't hear. You got to repent and put your faith in Jesus, and then His Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Then you have ears to hear, because by His Spirit you can hear God. You can know what God is telling you. So make sure you're there. If you're not, I'm going to say a prayer in a minute, and repent this morning. Put your faith in Him so that you'll have ears to hear, and you'll be in that relationship with Him, and that's how you find that relationship with Him. Do you have ears to hear? Do you know how to be victorious? Walk by faith. Trust in Him. The victory is in Jesus. When you repent and you put your faith in Him, you will be victorious and you will enjoy that paradise of God one day. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we just ask that You'd help us now to do what You're telling us. Lord, examine all of us right now. Please show us anything. Lord, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Speak to our hearts. Lord, have we forsaken you, our first love? Lord, is there anything that we would not give up for you? Oh, Lord, may we right now put you on the throne and say, Lord, I'm sorry, have mercy on me. I've had that thing before you. I put you first now. May we remember, Lord, remember where we used to be and what we used to do and do it again. Or, Lord, may we remember what we've received and we heard from you and obey it and repent. And, Lord, may we hear what you say that we'll be victorious. Help anyone here who needs you in that relationship with you. Help them to admit and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you've paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that you're God in the flesh, the Son of God, that you paid for my sins on the cross, that you're raised from the dead. And I'm calling on you. I know there's nothing I can do to save myself. It's all you, Jesus. I'm calling on you. I'm trusting you. I'm saying, Jesus, save me from my sins. Come into my life. I'm yours. I'm yours. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you need to get something right at the altar here. Maybe there's something God has put his finger on in your life. You can pray about it at the altar, or you can pray at your seat. And I encourage you, write it down. If he's telling you there's something you need to do, something you need to work on, write it down so you can leave this place and pray about it and do it. Do what the Lord's telling you. Maybe you just prayed that prayer with me right there at the end, and you just said, Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my life. If that's you, you just entered that. If you meant that with your heart, you entered that relationship with him. And we want to celebrate that with you. We want to get you started on the right track. So when Chris leads us in this song, you stand up out of your seat and come and walk down and tell me, say, hey, I prayed about that. And we want to celebrate that with you. Maybe you're joining this church this morning saying, this is where the Lord wants me. You can do that when Chris leads us in this song. But do, that's the key word, do whatever the Lord is telling you to do when Chris leads.